We're not sitting here and saying we want to send a message to college football and teams. We just simply believe the rankings will do that. Well, I think the key for us, again, they're very, very close. It's very thin. We probably spent more time discussing those two teams plus TCU and Alabama. But, you know, Oregon has three top 25 victories. Florida State only has two. And then, you know, if you look at Oregon, they've had two of those top 25 victories on the road, along with that Michigan State home win. So, again, when we looked at them, very, very close. It's almost, it's razor thin. But in this week, based on this week's body of work, all things considered, we felt that Oregon had a very slight edge over Florida State.
Hi. Welcome into the zone today. Justin Akery. That's me. Wally Hall is here, and Pat Bradley is here as usual. Matty T. holding things down, doing whatever it is that goes on in that sick mind of his. You'll know because he has a hard time keeping it to himself. It's good to see.
Wednesdays with Wally is presented by Deltec Timber Corporation, a publicly owned natural resources company headquartered right here in Arkansas. Learn more at Chenal.com.
It was good to see Matty T yesterday.
Yeah, it was, briefly.
In the parking lot.
I had fun.
I want to thank the fine folks from Junior Achievement for having us out. We were at the Professor Bowl West yesterday, Wally.
What a turnout.
Home of the greatest craft beer selection in Central Arkansas, especially for a bowling alley. It is quite remarkable.
They have craft beers?
Oh, buddy. All they have on tap is Arkansas-based craft beers, and they have an incredible bottle selection as well.
I thought they had cheese in them.
No cheese.
Craft cheese.
No, nor chocolate. Anyway, it's fun. Good time, and it was for a good cause, and my team did not win this year, unfortunately. We were the victors last year in the afternoon, but unfortunately, or the evening, I guess. This year, we came up short.
Yeah, you were a real drag on the team, man.
I didn't finish last.
You were a real drag on the team. I was hurt. What are you looking at me?
Well, I mean,
I got a torn ligament in my right knee.
I expect you to play through pain, and you look just fine to me.
Pat, you rolled hurt?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I played through it, Wally.
Let me say this. Kid's got great form. Great form.
That's right, I do.
I kept staring at his butt in those fancy jeans. I thought, man, this kid looks good. But anyway,
it was fun. It's always fun to get out there. It's amazing how bowling turns you into like a sixth grader again, because the looks on people's faces, like whenever somebody rolls a strike, a bowls, a rolls, whatever it is, it's like they look back and all they want is everyone to look. I mean, it's like the smirk comes on. Yeah, it's so much fun to see somebody after they roll one.
Yeah.
Because they look back like, I can't believe I did it. Is everyone else as excited as me? And then we all jump up, of course, hug them. And
if you roll a gutter ball, you walk back with your head down.
Everybody's like, Toby saw that.
Yeah.
It's fun, though. It's good to watch.
Who finished last on y'all's team?
Turn into children. Oh, I was hurt, Wally. I was hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt.
You know
anyway.
What this is? The world's smallest violin playing your song.
We did not win.
Nobody
it's okay. But it was fun. And
right,
Junior Achievement won. That's what matters. So it was a good time. Anyway, we thank him, and we'll hopefully be back. I did not roll a turkey. Did you bowl a turkey?
Like
an actual turkey?
No.
Like an actual frozen turkey. I didn't either, and I normally do, but I didn't make it over there. I was running around and making smart aleck comments. I was on fire, babe. I was emceeing. I was playing. I was doing this, that, and the other.
Did you call anybody a jive turkey?
No, I was bebopping all over people's
Roger
faces.
Roger was singing.
Roger was singing because the music went out at one point. But
Roger sings pretty well.
That's debatable.
He does.
He's talented. Everybody thinks so, except for a certain female singer in town.
Well, she said was he needs lessons. Lessons would just make him better.
Oh, okay.
That's the way I took it.
Go with that.
So take it great to exceptional.
I don't even want to bring it up because he's finally over it, so I don't even want to talk about it.
Might be Jason Peterson. Who knows?
Whoa!
So yesterday, something inexplicable happened. The college football playoff folks decided after knocking Florida State, undefeated Florida State, a team that won the national title last year, they knocked them from their perch atop the football rankings in week the first release. They had Mississippi State jump ahead of them after the second time it came out. Now they put 9-1 Oregon ahead of them. Another undefeated team I could make a case for, especially one that has the significant number of wins that Mississippi State has and the fact that they play in the best conference and they're also undefeated. But to move Oregon ahead of Florida State to me is unforgivable and inexplicable. I do not understand it, and I won't.
Well, I have a simple explanation for you.
By the way, TCU has jumped into fourth ahead of Alabama. I'm not sure I agree with that, but it's palatable to me. Explain to me how Oregon jumps ahead of Florida State, Wally.
The selection committee is obviously biased.
Ooh. Towards or away from?
Toward the Pac-12.
Huge accusation. Why would they be?
Why would they be?
Where's Pat Hayden, the AD at?
USC.
USC.
Where did Tom Jernstead go to school?
Nobody knows.
Into a Pac-12 school.
Oregon.
Okay.
Oliver Luck's son played quarterback where?
Stanford.
And
where I'm was sorry. Where wait, was wait, wait, Wally, wait.
Thank you.
Okay.
Got me even another one.
Condoleezza Rice?
Stanford!
Excuse me, that's one-third of the voters.
Yeah?
Well, one-third.
Jeff Long's the committee chairman.
Where does he like to go on vacation? California.
If they want to prove there's no bias, show us their votes.
Ooh, you've been served, committee.
The only thing I don't have a problem with TCU being 4. I don't have a problem with Alabama 5. I certainly don't have a problem with Arizona State at 6. I do have an issue with Oregon jumping Florida State. I don't like Florida State. I don't think Florida State's that great. I can't stand Jameis Winston. But you got to give the devil his due. And if the devil deserves to be second, the devil deserves to be second. I could even make a case that they should be first. I could make a much better case that Florida State should be first than I could possibly make that they should be third. And anybody who can make a compelling argument that Oregon's better, and I don't care about the eye test, it also should include the resume. The resume shows me Oregon has a loss, Florida State, major conference doesn't. They should be 2-1.
Don't use the phrase quality loss when you're trying to explain or make excuses for Oregon being ahead of Florida State.
I got no problem with the quality loss. You can put them ahead of other teams that have losses. You can't put them ahead of a team with no losses.
Exactly.
Because they have no quality losses.
Here's what they're trying to get away from, though. And I think we've been prisoners of the thought process of Florida State winning a national championship last year, undefeated this year. Mm-hmm. They could look like complete crap. But still, we're prisoners of the thought process that they should still be 1 or 2 because they would be number one in a lot of people's minds if Mississippi State wasn't. But undefeated
Pat,
as well.
Buddy, there's only 2 undefeated teams out of the Power 5 conferences. You have
that,
to put them 1-2.
I think the committee is saying you cannot be prisoner to numbers. You've got to look at who they feel is the best.
But what numbers? I mean, it's a record. Your record means everything.
What they're saying clearly is...
I mean, I could make a case that there's plenty of 2-loss teams that are better than 1-loss teams, but I'm not going to put them ahead of them because they have 2 losses.
Well, then they're not prisoner
to that
thought process.
Why is Nebraska 16? They're 8-1.
They're not prisoners to the thought process.
That's garbage.
We do this in rankings all the time. All the time in playoffs.
But there are certain things that are no-brainers. There are certain things that are no-brainers, though, bro. If you're undefeated, you get to be a top.
I get it. Listen, you want to make sense of it? They're trying to say that, you know what? Regardless of the fact that this team is a defending national champion undefeated, I don't think they're the number two team in the country.
I think I disagree. I think they're making 2 statements here. 1, we're biased, and 2, nobody likes Jameis Winston in Florida State anymore after that New York Times story
came out
how the players run amok and the law turns their head.
There is a dual bias.
I'd be curious to see
there's a bias against Florida State.
What the BCS would have in the rank when they because that's actual not right. No human. I mean they did take in a human poll, but
the computers were involved for sure.
Right, and I'd be curious to see how that would plug into what the rankings would be now, because when it's a human vote, that's what you're going to get. Unfortunately, you might be right about Jameis Winston, and that gives a negative view to them, and they don't believe Florida State is. But that's the business. That we've chosen this.
How many times how many times have we said you can't outthink yourself? Don't try to be too cute with it. There's certain things that are so obvious
as the nose
of my face.
Third week?
And that is if you're an undefeated team through 9 games in a major conference and there's only one other team that is, you should be 1-2.
I know one thing that's going to happen. I know for a fact they will make mistakes. They will make mistakes. I know this is going to happen. It's going to happen.
Let me ask you this.
At the end of the year,
we'll
be able to pick the 4, and it just as well as they could. I feel confident that us 4.
Well, after today's, I'm sure we can do it better.
Well, speaking of that, Wally made a great point.
The state of Oregon doesn't think
Wally made a great point in his column today, and that is what I've been trying to say. And by the way, Barrett Salee is going to join us again a little bit later. To me, at the end of the season, when you look at the records, you look at the resumes, you look at the eye test, however you want to gauge it, statistically speaking or otherwise, there will not be a significantly better resume between number 1 and number 8. That's my opinion. I think you should have an 18 playoff. I think it solves most everything. Barrett will make the argument, I'm sure, again today, and it won't bear itself out for a couple more weeks. He will say you are rewarding mediocrity. Look at what's going on in NASCAR. NASCAR does not have the guy that won the most that's in the final part of the chase. No, it's the guys who have been the most consistently pretty good. That's what's happening here, and that's fine by me because there is no standout team at the end of the season. I think Florida State loses this weekend, and God forbid that they do because they're probably going to drop to number 10 if they're number 3 undefeated.
Well, talk about resumes, though. How about the difference in number 4 and number 5, 4 and 6, 4 and 7, 4 and 8? That's where you're running into your problem with 4 teams.
You guys, I'm very disappointed in you two. Very disappointed in
Again.
You two. Again. Prisoners of the moment.
How do you
Prisoners
mean?
Of the moment.
Meaning what?
Because this is a year where, yeah, Okay, you could look at 4-5, or 4-6, 4-7. Sure.
Yeah,
you
know this what? Year for sure.
You could even look at 3-8, maybe, and you have a difficult time. It will not be, there are going to be years where you say, huh, there's only two teams that deserve to be playing in the playoff.
I disagree.
And the rest of them.
I totally disagree. Go back in history, and there's never been a clear-cut 1-2 with the BCS. There was always a team that should have been in there. They stumped one time, and all of a sudden, they're out. Look at 2004.
Okay, one team. I'll give you one team.
I think most of the time.
Can't always give you eight.
I hate to say this because I was not a fan at all of the BCS, mostly because nobody else decides it like that in any other sport ever. But I would also say this. The arrogance of college football. Anyway, I guess to finish my thought first off is, most of the time, there was a clear-cut 1-2. Now, there was the situation where we had three undefeateds, and that kind of thing happens. But most of the time, they got it right with the two teams, and it was the right matchup. Most of the time. There were a couple times where they shouldn't have done it that way. The other thing is, to me, the arrogance of college football, okay? That's my favorite sport, but the arrogance of college football is amazing to me. There is no other game that is played on a high level, professionally or collegiately, where you break it down to four teams in a playoff, okay? The NFL, college basketball, professional basketball, Major League Baseball has even expanded its playoff system
exactly.
to where you've got multiple teams that have a chance. Nobody needs that. You don't need to play it in two games and then a championship game. There's no reason to have just semifinals and then a final. To me, it's so arrogant. That we,
Buddy,
oh,
it
we
is
have
what
a,
it is.
I know, but my point is, you're the only sport, the only major sport that breaks it down to
it will get
four
there.
Teams.
It'll expand. It will expand eventually. It's just right now, it's going to take time. Just like with the committee, I know you guys are. Anybody can look at it and be critical of it.
I may be the only non-Baptist in the free world who believes Baylor's getting cheated. Head-to-head competition, they beat TCU.
And that's a funny thing is because they have shown that head-to-head competition matters to them. Now, the thing is, Baylor's going to be able to help itself, Wally. Baylor has Kansas State left on its schedule.
Right.
If Baylor beats Kansas State, that's a significantly better win than anything that TCU can get the rest of the way, I believe. I'll have to double-check that, but I think that's accurate. I think they have Texas and maybe Texas Tech. They got a pretty crappy schedule that remains.
Would you call these quality wins?
Okay.
You beat Clemson.
Yes.
You beat Notre Dame.
Ding, ding,
yes.
Ding.
You beat Louisville.
Who are we talking about?
And you beat Oklahoma State to open the season.
That sounds exactly like Florida State to me.
Bingo, bango. In the words
hey,
of my good
don't
friend.
Get ahead of yourself,
Here's
gentlemen.
The problem for Florida State. If they already don't love them, God only knows what's going to happen if they lose a game. I'm telling you, they're going to drop to like 10 if they lose. They got at Miami. They got BC, who they'll beat. They got Florida, who they should beat. But what if they happen to stumble? That would be hilarious. And then they're going to get, here's the best bet they're going to get, Duke, Georgia Tech, or Miami in the ACC championship game. They can't help themselves that much. I tell you the one that really needs the help is, and we talked about it on Monday, is Ohio State. Ohio State needs Nebraska to destroy Wisconsin this week with or without Abdullah. They need to be a one-loss team, and I'm sure, I'm still not figured out a team with the legacy that Nebraska has, why they're ranked so low with one loss. Anyway, if they can get there with one loss and they face off as 11-1 against 11-1 Ohio State and Ohio State beats them, I think Ohio State has a chance to jump up. And frankly, they're going to have a really strong argument. What would be better is if they end up at number 5 and I get to listen to Urban Meyer complain until next season.
And don't forget, too, though, it's just get us in and we win. I mean, we're looking at the rankings because it's Wednesday, I guess. There's nothing else to talk about.
Well, there's lots of other things to talk about. But
it doesn't matter if they're 2, 3, or 4. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're 1, 2, 3, or 4.
You're right.
But
what it does, Pat, it concerns me about the mindset. Because what it does is it clearly shows me they're going to screw somebody. It's easy to think that they're going to screw 5 or 6 or 7.
If they don't lose, they will be in the Final Four.
Okay, with four teams, is there a Cinderella to pull for with four teams? And what do we love in the NCAA basketball tournament?
No, I don't need it necessarily. I don't necessarily have to have a
get
Cinderella.
In and you win.
The thing that's fun about the eight is an undefeated Marshall team has a chance to get in with with eight teams. With the four, you don't. I mean, and if you have a powerhouse, if Boise went undefeated some of those years when they played major conference teams out of conference, and they beat them, and then they won their conference and went undefeated,
they
would have had a chance. They have no chance to get in the four. You have no chance to get in the four.
It will eventually.
And that's fine. I'm not losing sleep over it, but still.
You do understand it'll eventually grow.
I hope so.
I'm
not convinced of that.
It's just that is the first year.
Here's the thing. Arizona State or Oregon are going to eliminate themselves. Mississippi State or Alabama are going to eliminate themselves. Baylor and TCU might not. That's going to be the real tricky one, I'm telling you. Baylor and TCU don't play anybody that should beat them the rest of the way. in my opinion, I think Baylor beats K-State. So if they run the table, because Arizona State and Oregon have to play in the championship game if they both run the table. Alabama and Mississippi State, of course, play this week. Florida State, eh. You know, they're going to have – I think they're going to lose this week. I'm picking Miami. I can tell you right now. There's my heads up. Okay? So
– and you're winning our contest.
And if they don't win – or if they don't lose that game, they're not going to lose.
You're in first place, right?
Yes, barely.
And Pat's second.
Yes, very close.
And I'm above 500.
More importantly, Wally, hey, that's something. More importantly, the winner of the Auburn-Georgia game is going to have a fan base that's very full and very happy because Waffle House, right. Apparently second year in a row, I hadn't seen this. Second year in a row, they have done a deal where if Auburn wins, the Waffle House in Auburn is going to give you free waffles, hash browns, and coffee for one day. And then vice versa, if Georgia wins, they're going to give it to you in Athens. Yeah. Free waffle, hash browns, coffee at Waffle House in Athens, Georgia, if Georgia wins this weekend, or when they play, rather. Is it next weekend? It is this weekend. That's right. It's a game we weren't – it's not as significant a game as it would have been if those teams had not lost.
Waffles, recently. Hash brown, and coffee.
Right.
One coffee?
I guess so. One waffle, one hash brown, one coffee.
I'd really have two hash browns.
I wonder how much it costs to actually – their cost on that plate.
I don't know.
It's going to be like, what?
7 cents?
7 cents.
Probably I mean, so. Seriously. Think about it. Along with the free breakfast, the winning school will get $15,000 added to the general scholarship from the folks at
now
Waffle House.
Now we're talking,
that's
baby.
That's a good deal. Anyway, so if you are an Auburn fan or an Athens, like a Georgia fan, and you're going to be in Athens or Auburn this weekend, there you go. Okay, so real quick before we go to the phones, the latest odds from our friends at Bovada on the championship, Alabama and Oregon are both 4-1.
That's it, I'm telling you.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Why?
Alabama's not in the top five.
I know, but they think Alabama's going to beat Mississippi State. They're a touchdown favorite. They're a touchdown favorite at home to beat Mississippi State, so that makes sense. That's why Vegas has them at 4-1. They still got work to do after that. Of course, they'd have to beat Auburn. They'd have to win the championship game.
And then they would be the outright number one. If they do what everybody thinks they're going to do, and by everybody,
clearly they'd
Vegas.
Be the outright number one. I know they jumped Florida State pretty easily, no matter what
Vegas.
Happens. Oregon's tied with them, though, at 4-1. Florida State 6-1, TCU 6-1. Mississippi State's fifth at 15-2. I really want Mississippi State to win this week, and I promise you I will be pulling for the Bulldogs. I think they get killed. Ohio State 8-1. Baylor is 16-1. Baylor's way back in the pack as far as their odds of getting there. Arizona State 25-1. Clearly that tells me the folks in Vegas don't think they can beat Oregon. Here's your Heisman Trophy. Marcus Mariota is increasing his lead. He's now a 1-5 favorite, what we call a prohibitive favorite. If he was a horse, Wally, he wouldn't bet a dime on him. 1-5 favorite. Dak Prescott, 13-2. You have to put him in some kind of exacta. 13-2. Melvin Gordon, third, 14-1. He will be playing this weekend. He is the leading, I think, rusher in America, maybe.
Melvin Gordon?
Yeah,
he's
so.
Nasty.
And then I think Abdullah's actually number one in yards from scrimmage. The line of scrimmage.
He's absolutely
this is
filthy.
Very interesting.
Boykin's next.
That's
quarterback
my guy.
From TCU. I love him. JT Barrett, Ohio State's played himself into the number five spot. What do you do with that quarterback controversy
next year? Where's Jameis Winston?
Oh, JT Barrett, Amari Cooper, Abdullah, then Jameis Winston. He and Abdullah are both 40-1.
40.
No chance.
How unpopular has Jameis Winston made himself?
So unpopular, his team is now third in the college football playoff standings. But as Pat's point, all they can do is win, and they're in the Final Four at the end of the day.
What are they going to be worried about? You know what?
It just kills me,
Jimbo
though.
Jimbo should be thanking this committee.
I just wonder what the mindset is that they put Oregon ahead of them. I don't get it.
They think they're better.
Quality loss. They had a quality loss.
But no, that's not the point. You can't put a quality loss team ahead of an undefeated. And you just pointed out they beat
something.
Some good teams
you know
along the way.
They have stuck Jeff Long in a horrible position being the voice of this committee.
Hey, let me explain something to you, too. You got to understand, Oregon, okay? Mm-hmm. And again, these are humans voting on this. Oregon had injury issues.
It doesn't
injury
matter.
It does matter,
that
though.
That does matter.
That's an excuse.
Then why isn't Ohio State further up?
Right now, they're number eight.
Why aren't they further up?
I'll tell you why. Because nobody can tell how good they would have been this year's team. Didn't the kid hadn't played a game, right?
Right.
What's his name?
Talking about JT Barrett?
The other one.
No, he played a game. That's when he got hurt. Your boy, Braxton Miller.
You don't have with this year's team an example of how this team could be with Oregon.
Pat,
you can see how they were.
What? They won 9 games, and this kid's played well. He's now in the Heisman race.
Ohio State.
Yes,
they got him at number 8.
Yeah, but that's way low is my point. If you're going to go injury thing, that's why they lost their game. It was Barrett's first start. He freaked out against the Virginia Tech team that sent everybody after him.
Exactly, and you now
so
know
injury
who it is.
Issue is the same deal as the Oregon argument.
You can't compare an Ohio State team with Braxton Miller with an Ohio State team with JT Barrett.
Maybe I can now. He's playing well. He's
you
a Heisman guy.
Because those teams don't exist. What does exist is an Oregon team unhealthy versus an Oregon team healthy, because we've seen you've got an example of both of them.
So well, you can't, I think the, you if you're going to use the argument of injury, the injury
yeah,
argument for Ohio State is just as strong, if not stronger, because it happened to their best,
Georgia's
their
a
most
better
important
team.
Player.
Georgia is a better team now than they were last week. You want to know why? And everybody agrees on that because of one guy that's coming back that wasn't there last week.
They probably are a better team, yes.
No question. I can't sit here and tell you that Ohio State would be having a better year with Braxton Miller.
No. You're missing the argument, buddy.
I can't.
You're not. That's not the argument. The argument is Ohio State better with a scared first-time guy in there after an injury to a quarterback who hasn't played against the Virginia Tech defense, that while that team is not a vintage Virginia Tech team, they are pinning their ears back and going after a rookie quarterback who hasn't played? Or are they better now with a guy who has played eight games
now.
As a starter?
They are better now.
Yes.
And they're number eight.
Yeah, but that's terrible. Why are they number eight and Oregon's number two? I don't get that.
But they're a completely different team.
Yeah, but you're blaming
with Braxton.
That's not the argument. You're blaming injuries, Pat.
Yeah, but the different. How can you not see that there? Braxton Miller does not. That team doesn't exist.
I feel strongly both ways.
I don't know
that
what
team
you're talking
doesn't
about.
Exist.
We're not even having the
like
same conversation.
Saying, yeah, we're not, because I can see how Oregon has a team that they fielded for game one, injury throughout the season.
You're telling me injury impacted them. That's why they lost their game.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm saying injury impacted Ohio State.
Yeah.
That's why they lost their game.
Okay,
that's,
but to they're me, a different team.
They're a one-loss team, just like Oregon is. Why are they eighth and Oregon's getting a pass and they're two?
But they're a different team. They will
they
never get back.
They lost their quarterback, who was a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Yeah, but
yeah,
you
and
know
now
what?
Their new guy's a Heisman Trophy
He's
candidate,
not,
so clearly they're a pretty good team.
That's exactly what I'm saying. The Ohio State won't get Braxton Miller back. They won't get him back.
No, they don't need him back. They have a Heisman Trophy candidate now at quarterback.
He's not Braxton Miller. I got news for you.
He might be better.
Well, he might is something, but he's not Braxton Miller.
He's playing really well, and they're
he's
killing people.
He's not Braxton Miller.
He's
Oregon,
playing, they just beat Michigan State with him at quarterback.
Oregon
he's obviously playing well.
Lost. That's fine. You know what? I love him. I don't care
well,
if
you can't give
Miller
Oregon
ever.
A pass. You said Oregon gets a pass because of the injury
issue. Yeah,
because issue.
They are bringing back together what they were. Braxton Miller will never bring back what Ohio State was or what we thought they were at the beginning
it
of the year.
It doesn't matter. It is what they are now.
Of course
now.
It does.
It all matters is what they are now.
Yeah, and you know what Oregon is now?
Yeah, they're really good.
What they were, what everyone thought at the beginning of the year, one of the best teams in the country.
Right, and Ohio State is too, with an established quarterback who's comfortable and has settled in.
He's not Braxton Miller's Ohio State.
He's the fifth favorite to win the
Heisman.
That's
fine.
That means he's playing really well.
Make him the second. He ain't going to win it. Mariota's going to win it.
Well, neither was Braxton Miller, buddy.
Oh, it's not Braxton Miller's Ohio State. Okay? So whichever way, it's a different Ohio State. You know what Oregon is now? Who everyone thought they were. That's why they're so comfortable making them number two, because they are who everyone thought they were. Ohio State has still got a question mark. Yeah, they won. They had a great win. Great win. Texas A&M had a great win at Auburn. I don't see you putting Kyle Allen in the Heisman race.
What? I'm not putting anybody in the Heisman race. I'm telling you what the people in Vegas are telling me.
That's fine.
Yeah, I don't know what your argument is. I still don't get it. Larry.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
I'm fine. What's up?
Hey, got a few points I want to kind of touch on what y'all been talking about. First off, on the Heisman, really I think it's only a two-man race. You got Dak Prescott and you got Mariota. And if Mississippi State wins out, there's your Heisman right there. Just because he came onto the scene this year, Mariota's been around for a while, and they always like the new guy. So that's kind of be the direction I want to go. But I will say this. If Michael from Stuttgart would put money on Dak, I would go Mariota.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt.
You know what his betting rate is.
Yeah, it's Mariota's to lose. I don't think that's an issue. And I don't care about the Heisman could not possibly be more irrelevant than it is now. It's so irrelevant, it doesn't make any difference.
Right. But now,
it's partly popularity contest, too, as you can tell.
I do have a question for you.
Yes.
Okay. Which is the strongest conference out of all of them?
The SEC.
All right. Who would you put as number two?
In the United States?
Of the other remaining
Pac-12. Pac-12.
Oh, which conference is number two?
I can't wait to find this out. What's going on?
I put
on.
Pac-12.
Yeah, probably the Pac-12, I suppose.
So that's the reason that Oregon is number two right now.
No, they have a quality loss.
That doesn't make any sense, though, dude. I mean, that's not what we're talking about. The conference is not – we're not playing for the conference. We're playing for the team. I'm not saying that they're – the ACC is clearly not as strong as the Pac-12, but Florida State is the defending champion. They're undefeated. They haven't lost. They've got significant wins this year. Regardless of reputation, they're undefeated against a quality schedule.
You got to get off that thinking, though.
But this is my argument.
That's the whole
– Florida State has struggled – with a weaker conference than Oregon has, and Oregon has looked more dominant. Even though they have a loss, they have still looked more dominant in the games that they played, where Florida State has actually had to come from behind with teams that are lesser than them. And that's the reason that it's 2-3. When it all comes down
I guess Oregon's jumped out on everybody they played, and they've dominated everybody they played all year long. Is that what you're telling me?
Not Arizona at home.
No, they haven't. I mean, they haven't dominated every
game. If you look at all the games that they played, if you stack a game against game, Oregon has actually had a better resume, even though they actually have a loss.
I'd have to look at their resume.
I disagree, sir.
They're undefeated, dude. That's my deal. That's the trump card. The trump card is you're undefeated. You played a quality schedule. You should be number two.
I've never seen.
Okay, so is Marshall still undefeated? Life.
Marshall doesn't play in a major conference. I'm talking about a Power Five conference, and they played.
You said that they're undefeated, so that puts them at number two. So in that logic,
they're not eligible, sir.
You can't
put an ineligible team.
If you want to talk cuckoo land, I mean, I'm talking logical. Logical is Power Five conference, undefeated team, major conference. They're undefeated, and they also played, as Wally pointed out. I'm not saying Oklahoma State's a top five team, but that's a solid out of conference opponent.
Okay, but here's the last point I want to put on this. After this weekend, it really ain't gonna matter because Miami's gonna blow them up,
and I think Miami's gonna be
Florida. And then after that, Florida's gonna get them too because you saw what they did to Georgia.
I don't believe that, but anyway, Larry, I do appreciate the comments, and you know what? We found common ground there. I think Miami's gonna win too.
You guys are getting awfully excited, too excited. Bob. About this being pretty obvious.
Yo,
it is obvious.
How did I get excited?
Because you guys are getting so worked up about Florida State being undefeated and not
being
number
two. I'm sitting over trying to play peacemaker.
There's no logical argument to put an undefeated team behind a team that has a loss.
Here's what I
know. None.
We have
unless there's a bias.
There's a 12-member committee that's pretty rational
Stupid.
And logical.
I thought so,
too. I don't know. I mean, they're amongst probably some of the most exceptionally talented
I'm with
people
Wally.
In the
Pac-12
country.
Bias. Pac-12 bias.
Four of the people on the committee have Pac-12 ties. How many have an SEC tie? One. And do you think Jeff Long is the chairman isn't neutralized? You think he could vote Alabama number two and not get chastised by the committee?
Bob, what do you got for me?
If I didn't happen to agree with them, then I would have a problem.
Yeah, I know.
This.
What's up, Bob?
You agree with this?
Uh-huh.
You're biased.
Justin, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm trying to be.
Okay. Listen,
physically,
question
not mentally.
For you guys is if Baylor and TCU win out,
right?
Baylor wins the Big 12.
They don't recognize it that way, though. It doesn't work like that for them. They call them
co-champions. How in the world can they put a second place team in the top four of one of the major conferences?
Sir, are you a Baptist?
No, I'm not, Wally.
Okay, you and me are the only non-Baptists that believe this argument.
Bob, I don't think they're not going to put Baylor in there. Baylor's not going to. I don't think Baylor's going to get there, and it is going to be awkward because to the eye test, most people think TCU is a better team. I don't know too many people who've seen them both play that don't think they're better. But the problem is they lost to TCU. They beat TCU heads up. So that's the issue
but
there.
I'm just saying that it's just kind of, you know, bizarre that they would put a second place. In other words, if both of them went out, which obviously I think TCU, looking at their schedule,
they both should win out. They'll both be favored the rest of the way.
Yeah, and if that were the case, then TCU would be in second of the Big 12. The other thing I was going to say to your argument on why in Nebraska,
but they're not second in the Big 12. That's my point, Bob. They don't recognize a first or second. There is no tiebreaker. It's co-champions because there's no playoff, and they don't look at head to head. I read something this week that said there is no there's no like tiebreaker. You beat me, so you're the champion.
It's just co.
Okay, maybe I misread that. I got because I know their commissioner talked. Bowlesby commented about it this week.
Okay. The other thing I was going to say is when you talked about Nebraska. If you remember in the beginning of the year, and I think it was like McNeese State.
Yes.
They had to like score a touchdown in the last 20 seconds of the game, if I remember right, to beat McNeese State.
Yeah.
So,
but they won.
I mean, yeah, we're right. And, you know, the other thing is I also think when you look at the Big Ten and the Pac-12, they're going back and looking at what happens, you know, head-to-head against the other conferences and also what they did last year in the bowls. And if you remember, the Big Ten last year in the bowls was horrible.
I know, but that doesn't matter. So, I mean, it really, and it doesn't, and it shouldn't. And it's like the guy arguing about, well, you know what, they play in the Big 12 or the Pac-12, and they should get a nod over an ACC team. Well, Florida State's still undefeated, and they played a quality schedule so far. It'll sort itself out to some degree. Some of it's still going to be up for grabs. By the way, here's what it says. Baylor and TCU, if the two remain deadlocked at the end of the season, Conference Commissioner Bob Bowlesby says the Big 12 won't recommend one team over the other to the College Football Playoff Committee. So basically they're saying they're co-champions. There is no regular season champion. It says both teams will receive a trophy. Both will be considered champions by the selection committee. So awkward.
Wow. Okay.
It's going to get real weird. Yeah. So, and they might screw them both.
Right.
I don't know.
So, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bob.
Well, we do know this about the committee. Quality losses count more than head-to-head competition.
What about this? What if Mississippi State only loses to Alabama? After all the significant wins they've already had. They should be in.
I've said that they should be in.
As a non-conference champion, are you going to put them in ahead of a TCU or Baylor?
If that's their only loss.
I think they're probably better.
They
I'm just
be
saying.
In.
I agree, but will they? That's my thing. And are you going to
no.
Are you going to host TCU and Baylor both?
They wouldn't be in.
People are going to flip out.
They would
out.
Take one. It'd be very simple. Alabama.
I don't think it's that simple. I think Mississippi State's still in the top four if they lose a close game at Alabama. Wally doesn't agree. I think they are.
You may be right. You may be right. But
oh my God,
it didn't go happen that way.
We'll continue this segment. This is good stuff, guys. Callers, hang on.
Let me get Bob in here. He hung on 17 minutes. Let me get him real quick, and we'll get these other callers coming out of the break. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Razorback Bob here. Justin, Pat, and
hey,
Wally.
Buddy.
Man, you can really feel the passion coming across the airways. It's a good stuff.
I really don't care.
I'm just passionate about what's logical.
Two things real quick, and then I want to slap a scenario on you guys.
Sounds painful.
Justin, I'm in agreement with you. I don't like Florida State, but they are the defending champions.
Until
somebody knocks them off, you got to give them the respect for that. I agree with Wally. I think Wally has a lot of support in the fact
to make
a case for bias, and that's what we don't want. So I'm really not sure how we're going to get out of that. But
make them show their ballots.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about it, don't matter if it's 4 to 8
teams. One ballot.
You know, somebody's going to be disappointed. But Pat, you can argue that college basketball probably is only one that really has a true playoff system with the NCAA tournament.
Baseball. I got no problem with the college baseball system.
But it'll probably never go to that, but I would be interested in hearing y'all's discussion on what if college football really went to a true playoff system.
Like the FCS or Division II?
Here's a thought. What if you draw the line north and south and separated the United States and then one east and west?
We've had that
four different divisions.
Could never happen.
And you know, you got to be 6 wins to go to a bowl. Make it 6 wins to go to the playoff system and let each division play out.
You had a good call going, Bob.
And then call it the super playoff or something.
Yeah, Bob, that's
winners.
Never going to happen. We're talking
crazy.
It's
never going to happen.
I appreciate the call, though. And here's the thing. I don't think there's any compelling argument I've ever heard to go beyond 8, and I don't think there ever will be. But I could be proven wrong.
That's unfortunate. He waited on that long, and then he was wrong.
That was good.
Twice
you were very good.
Call.
Very good. I think
wrong,
he made
like
a lot of great points.
Call.
Very smart. Very intelligent.
No, he was wrong twice.
This segment brought to you in part by my friends at New Creations. And I'm telling you, since I lost my weight, I've even gotten smarter than I was before.
No,
I think that make it even clearer every single day, especially when I'm debating with my boy PB. 501-791-6795. The only thing I need to get on a diet now is Pat's head. He's a big old fathead over there. He's not making any sense at all.
I make great sense.
New creation.